No absentee is up way up.
Good evening, everybody.
Good night.
I'd like to call to order the Village of Walton Hills Committee of the Whole meeting of Tuesday, November 6th at 7 p.m. Welcome, everybody.
Councilperson Linville.
Present.
Brenner Miller.
Here.
Allen.
Here.
Terlouwski.
Here.
Nielsen.
Here.
All council, present except for Mr. Spitznagle. Can I have a motion to excuse Mr. Spitznagle?
I'd like to make a motion to excuse Mr. Spitznagle from the meeting of the whole.
Second.
Vote on the motion.
Councilperson Linville.
Yes.
Brenner Miller.
Yes.
Allen.
Yes.
Terlouwski.
Yes.
Nielsen.
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Spitznagle excused. Next item, item three, approval of the committee of the whole meeting minutes of October 2nd, 2018.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to ask for approval of the committee of the whole meeting minutes of October 2nd, 2018.
Is there a second?
Second.
Councilperson Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Allen?
Yes.
Terlouwski?
Yes.
Nielsen?
Yes.
Linville?
Yes.
Minutes approved. Item number four, approval of the committee of the whole meeting minutes of October 9th, 2018.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to ask for approval of the committee of the whole meeting minutes of October 9th, 2018.
Second.
Second by Denny Linville.
Councilperson Allen?
Yes.
Terlouwski?
Yes.
Nielsen?
Yes.
Linville?
Yes.
Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Minutes passed. Next item, item number five, persons having business before council.
Mr. Mayor?
Any? Yes.
I'm sorry, if I could just interject.
Yeah, go ahead.
Technically under number three and four, thank you, Katie, for being so expeditious in getting these together and out.
You're welcome.
Anybody having business before council? Any residents? Come on up, Mary Alice.
Hello, I'm Mary Alice Moran, 7500 Linda Lane. I just want to thank the mayor and all the council people who were so gracious and such good sports at the coffee, cookies, and council meeting we had last Tuesday. I received so many positive comments from the people that were there, and everybody feels as though they got to know our village officials so much better and enjoyed you all so much. And I know Fred made the comment it was like in school with the bell ringing, but the reason we did it that way is so that nobody tied up the conversation, so that you got to meet everybody that was there, because that's what they were there for, to meet everybody. But I want to thank all the board members and the members of the Citizen League, and for all the planning and the work that went in. And I was surprised to see how many good bakers we had. Of all the other talents the Citizen League has, who would know that they were able to bake such wonderful cookies and pastries? But I thought it was very positive. It was very nice of you to be so gracious, and to it seemed as though you were having a good interaction also. So thank you.
Thank you. Just to any clubs or members, if I know myself, somebody wants me to come and talk somewhere, I'd be glad to. Even if it's something, for the children of the village or something like that. Anything, if I can make it, I'll be glad to be there. And I know council feels the same way. That I thought was a good evening for us. And moving forward, if I get invited, I'll be glad to attend. Thank you, Mary Alice. Any other residents have anything before council? Or anybody? Don't necessarily have to be.
I do. I didn't sign up for anything.
You don't have to sign up. Just come up, give your name and address, and
I'm Stephen Velk, 15153 Alexander Road. I got a question, and I don't know if this is the right forum to bring it up, but the trucks that are going down up and down Alexander Road, is there any way we can get signage that says no Jake brakes or anything? Because it's starting to get ridiculous, especially at night. You have the trucks coming down like Alexander Road going to Hub Parkway or whatever, wherever they're going. and they hit the high-tension wires there, and they let off their accelerator, and they're loud. You know, I'm sure you know what Jake brake sounds like. You know, we have all these other signs in the village, you know. Maybe we can see if we can try and spring for a no Jake brake sign. And I'm sure people up on this end of Alexander would appreciate it, too. Because I've sat at the light down here and many times heard the trucks coming to a stop, and they're using the Jake brake. So that's all I got.
With that being said, you know, we did counsel, and myself did sit with residents at the Citizens League meeting, and I know one topic that came up with me was, and it's kind of, I think it might even came up in one of our meetings like this, a COW meeting, is more, and I know Fred's brought more traffic, truck traffic on Alexander Road.
Mm-hmm.
Now, no one's mentioned about the Jake brakes, but that's something new. And I know I have the chief looking at it. I was going to talk to Bill about it. I know at one time we had some weight limit signs, and then we were told we couldn't because.
Yeah.
So we're kind of looking into that because we've noticed a lot more truck traffic. And it seemed like what happened when they were doing the bridge in Valley View there, we had the detour, and they never went back to their other route. They
right.
kind of just stuck with our Alexander route.
We have some pretty heavy traffic. I mean, I'm sure anybody that lives in Alexander can tell you, all hours of the night too. I mean, I think there's a lot more trucks at night than there are during the day. You know, I'm not home half the day, but at night, actually 3 nights ago, there were 57 trucks in a 2-hour span going
wow.
westbound into Valley View. So, I mean, I'm assuming they're going to Hub Park, or I assume they're going, you know, somewhere, because a lot of times I'll see the same trucks come back, and they're coming back this way. So
okay.
I don't know if they're dropping a load off and then, you know, coming back to the freeway this way and just cutting the freeway completely out. But that's all I had was just about the Jake brakes, because I got two little kids that, you know, especially my 3-year-old, hears it instantly, and, you know, she hears a truck in the middle of the night, and she's waking us all up, you know, because she heard a truck. So,
right. And, I mean, there's that concern, and just those all that truck traffic is rough on our roads,
mm-hmm.
too, besides the inconvenience to the residents and the noise. So we're looking into that.
Thank you.
So I'll get back to you. Or
thank you very much.
Put it in the journal or let everybody know. Because it does seem to be a concern, and I know for myself, people ask me at the at that, and it's been coming up. So we'll see. I know we talked. I remember one time we had more signs for trucks, even if, from what I remember, even if you're not allowed to post them. I mean, it's not that you're not allowed to post them. If you can't enforce it, at least it deters a little. You know, people kind of, they don't know if you can enforce it or not. So we'll have to see.
Elephant.
Okay. Thank you. Any other residents have anything before council?
Hi, my name is Michelle Velk, also at 15153 Alexander. I'm not sure if this is something that needs council approved or what it is, but I don't want to cause any problems by starting it. I was interested in starting a mini library program. I don't know if you've seen any of the other communities around that have, they have just little tiny boxes that people donate books to, parked at the end of their driveway. It's usually kind of like a mailbox setup, and people can stop and donate books, or if you want books, you can stop and pick up books for free. It's just something that I thought would be a nice, something free to offer the community residents, kind of bring communities together, somewhere you can donate and stuff like that. So I didn't know if you guys have to approve that or where we would go from there.
No, Michelle, what I would say, and I think council would agree, I would have you talk to Carol Stanisic,
yeah.
Who's our recreation director, who kind of manages, we have like a little library down at the community room. She has a book program,
okay.
you know, called the Bookworms and stuff. I think, why don't we, Katie, you can talk to Katie, we'll get you a number and you guys can talk and
okay.
make a connection. I think it's great, any kind of help like that, or if it's something totally different than what she's doing. I don't think that you need any permission from this body. I mean, it's something thing, but I think going through her would be the key.
Okay.
You know, and she could help you with that.
Okay, great. Thank you.
There may be some zoning.
Right.
They may have to approve.
That's what I was kind of not sure about.
Yeah, if there's something on that. But I don't think that would be a problem.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, go ahead.
Michelle, I don't know if you know about that library program, and that is... I'm sorry?
I'll look into it. I know how to get a hold of Carol.
Yeah. The only thing that I would see that from what you're saying that would add as a benefit is it could be accessed at any time, whereas the library right now, we're kind of, you know, residents are limited to when that community room is open
right.
and stuff. But yeah, I think it sounds like a great idea.
Thank you.
It's a good positive thing. Any other residents have anything before council? That what you're hearing
Sorry.
Is Brian's listening to it.
Oh.
You're making a lot of chatter.
Brian, stop moving.
Any other residents have anything before council? Okay, I think we're going to move on. Item 6. I'm a little bit under the weather, so if I'm coughing a little bit, excuse me, I apologize for that. Item number 6, council comments. Anybody have anything?
Yeah. Go ahead, Mary.
I was just going to say thank you to the Citizens League for being so gracious and having us and making us feel comfortable. I was quite nervous, to be honest with you, initially, but that went away. So thank you. Thank you very much.
I had a lot of fun. I thought it was good. It was great.
Yeah, I got it.
Chance to talk with your neighbors, you know. One of the things I did want to talk about, too, is the trucks.
Okay.
I mean, just to follow up, they've really gotten out of hand. I mean, I'm watching, coming up that hill on Alexander, 4, 5, 6 trucks right in a row. It's almost like a truck. All of a sudden, it's like a truck route. And I know they're not all going to Hub Park. They're going up and, you know.
Right.
Part of it might be because they're working on that 480 bridge. I don't know, but it's when I drive down, going to Pleasant Valley, going over to 70, going over to 77, I'm following those trucks all the way through. So I know they're cutting right through. They're just.
Thank you.
But not, what we can do about it, I don't. You know, again, maybe you can look into that. Maybe lease one section of Alexander Road from the county and make it Walton Hills and absolutely no trucks.
There you go.
Let them get to
right in the middle.
Let them get to Dunham Road and
20 yards on each.
Let them get to Dunham Road and there where you, and now where you're going to go? You know, once that word's out that they can't cut through, it'll be done.
Well, I think part of the Jake Brake problem that we're having is the traffic camera too. Because I hear that, like I can tell as soon as they're coming into the village with the sign and that camera is dead across from me,
right.
You know, so I always hear that. And at night, it is a lot more noticeable, I think just because it's at night and it's very quiet, but you can hear dozens of trucks.
We've never had this many trucks, though. It's really noticeable.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really noticeable.
No, I don't think Stephen's 57 trucks in 2 hours is an exaggeration at all.
No, I'm right there on top of the hill. I look down right, you know, by Alexander. I can see when they come up through there. It's really picked up. Truck traffic's really picked up. So why, I don't know.
The car traffic, we kind of contributed to the Roxino, you
Correct.
Know, because I see that pulling out of where I'm at.
Right.
Okay, but the... The trucks, that's something.
This is something
too.
All new.
Yeah.
You know, and if we let it go, it's just going to get worse.
Mm-hmm. I did talk to Stan and Bill, so we'll see what we can do.
Why fix the roads if these trucks are going to be? I mean, we'll be fixing roads every 2 years. If they start using it for a truck route.
Right.
And another thing is, you know, you have no way. We don't have the available scales, police scales, like. You know, the DOT, and they have
scales.
The scales
yeah.
with them. You know, Highway Patrol carries the scales right with them. We don't have that here, so there's no way to stop some of these trucks to even check if they're overweight. So, yeah, take them to Car Brothers. But again, I don't know if legally you can do that.
Yeah.
You have them drive up over the scales?
So you go to the weigh station. You
have to go. Well, there you go. Might be a way to, you know, deter them. something.
Right.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, go ahead.
Talking about with the Citizens League, someone at my table was talking about the lighting down at the community center.
Mm-hmm.
Myself, I'm with the book club, and so are several people here. And it's very dark because it's at night. And I know there's lighting around the perimeter, but to put something into the parking lot itself might be very expensive, but maybe just like some floodlights that from the like the atrium to go out towards the
okay.
parking
the
lot, because it is very, very dark.
I'll have Rob look into that.
There was something we talked about it that lights were on a timer or something, or if they weren't working, you know,
right.
that
he was going to get back to me on that.
Yeah.
I can follow through with that with Rob.
Okay.
And then he can get a quote for increase the lighting. Any other council members have anything? Okay, we'll move on to some pieces of legislation that we have for the special council meeting. Some of these just came forward. The appointment to the JED that Tom Jordan, who's involved with the JED board, and contacted Bill and said this is something the board just came to him saying, oh, we got to make this happen and stuff. And then so we had a couple of these other items that Katie said, well, we should get done too, so that's why we decided to have the special council meeting. Katie, if you want to talk about this note, this is our usual rollover of that note from projects we've done in the past, nothing existing. This is the old note, but you want to talk about item seven? Go ahead, Katie.
Sure. So we had budgeted to pay down $70,000 this year on our note, which is what we are paying down. So we will be going out for pricing on the 14th and then hopefully close before the end of the month. We will be reissuing $1,640,000. That's comprised of the projects at Dunham-Alexander intersection, prior police vehicle purchases, prior street vehicle purchases, Sagamore Road, the Alexander Road, Northfield Road intersection, and also the purchase of the community center. So we're not issuing any new debt. We are paying down $70,000 on our current debt and reissuing for $1.64 million. These are one-year notes. They're technically called bond anticipation notes. People generally pass them until they have enough to go for a bond rating and to go for a long-term bond. We don't have enough debt to do that. We've never been bond rated. So we used to be able to purchase our own debt and pay ourselves the interest. We can't do that any longer, but a one-year note is the ideal situation for us. And we don't anticipate issuing any new debt in the next year, but we'll see what comes up. So. Essentially, it's all being paid down by $70,000. The bulk of it, technically, is paying off the vehicles because vehicles you have to pay off. I can't reissue more than like a five to seven-year period on those, whereas with a road construction or a building, I can reissue for 20 or 30 years because that's the life of the project. So that is that. And generally, we pay 2% interest to the buyer. So.
And I'd like to get suspension for that and pass that tonight.
Yes.
That's
okay.
Any questions on that?
Hey.
On item seven.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Within that, I was reading and stuff. You said it's generally 2% because in a couple of places it said not to exceed 4.5 or 5%.
It's generally always been 2%, but the rate will be set on the 14th, whatever next 14th. Wednesday. Is that the 14th, 15th?
So that's just what we're capping it at. That we're not going to go over.
Yes.
Or that's.
Yes.
Okay. So we still don't know the exact.
We don't
rate.
Know the exact. But in the past multiple years we've done it, we've been at 2%.
Okay.
And generally we're purchased by like Fidelity, large mutual funds, since municipal bonds are pretty conservative. So.
Okay. And when it says in Section 6 and 11 about the debt service levy and the income tax pledge, that's just
Basically, when we go through a rating through the state, because we're not, you know, going through an official rating through Standard & Poor's or any of the major ratings, we have to show that we have the funds through our income tax collections to back our debt payment.
So we're just saying that through the debt service levy and the income tax pledge specifically, basically coming out of the general fund, yeah.
Is
that's
going
like
to be funding
banking.
The debt,
yeah.
Yes.
That's
okay.
Where the money's
going. Any questions on item 7 from council? From the audience, any questions on item 7? Okay, we'll move on to item 8. Ordinance 2018-17, Cuyahoga County grant for Alexander Road repairs.
This is in conjunction with what you passed for the OPWC. Essentially realized late in the game that the county was waiting for us to pass the legislation for us to receive a grant from them. So this is merely accepting the grant money for that portion of Alexander from Walton to Northfield. That will be in conjunction with OPWC grants and the loan that we're assuming, the $200,000. So this is just legislation to accept the $200,000 grant from Cuyahoga County.
And we talked about busy repairs last month at our two COW mm-hmm. meetings. Any questions on that? From the residents, any questions on item 8? Okay, item number 9, resolution 2018-27, appoint the mayor to the JED board. I'll let Bill, you can talk about that and kind of give how that evolved or why that's taking place.
Sure, we participate in a joint economic development district with Sagamore Hills, and there's a board that's appointed with some residents and the administration, and Sagamore Hills in here. Mayor Hurst served in the capacity as a board member, and this is to replace Mayor Hurst with Don Collegraph for the duration of his term, which I believe ends on October 10th, 2020.
All that when that ends. Okay. Not when mine ends. So I'm just filling that gap. The board requires that replacement. And we'll be meeting, I think, at the end of the month, Mr. Jordan said. That's all being set up by the board. They'll contact me. They haven't contacted me yet. I've talked to some of the trustees, but so that, any questions on that from council?
Say that term again. What is the term?
The term ends on October the 10th of 2020.
Okay. 2 years.
So this is an unexpired term that Kevin Hurst was serving previously.
Any questions from council on the appointment mayor to JED board? For the residents, any questions on item number 9? Okay, we're going to move on to item number 10, 2019 budget discussion. Mary, I'd normally let you run it, but I know we're going to, Katie's going to go through some of the things rather quickly here. Next Tuesday, I'm going to have the department heads here, and we'll go through the budget with them, their individual budgets. So next week, we might be a longer meeting next Tuesday, and we'll have the department heads here too. So Katie's going to kind of update where we're at.
Okay. So
today.
Everyone has the most current report through the end of October. Currently, we're on pace. We have a $331,000 surplus through the end of October. So I think that we're pacing to finish the year on a good note. For the budget for 2019, I just printed the report 52. I didn't give you the full list of expenditures and revenues. I just wanted to point out some changes that I've made since the last version. I took out, we probably will make over $200,000 in traffic camera revenue, but we just, we're having quite a large surplus for next year. So I knocked it down to 120. You just never know. There were just a couple changes in regards to showing the full amount of grants received and the full amount of expenditures rather than showing the net on the projects we have for next year, which doesn't really reflect except to show the gross amounts on the other side. It doesn't change the bottom line. A couple things that are of interest. I think we talked a few months ago that the county regional health program was ending, so we had to go out through our broker for bids on health insurance for the employees. We did get our bids back. We are going to be changing providers. We're not going to be able to provide quite as high level of coverage, but we have some good options for employees. We're planning it'll be through Anthem. We'll have three different tiers, a low deductible, a high deductible, and an HSA option for employees. And regardless, we will see a savings overall. It'll be cheaper for employees, whichever plan they choose, and it'll be cheaper for the village. So depending on the plan, we could see between $24,000 to $36,000 in savings next year. Another part of it, which council can consider, which our brokers, they're more than happy to come and talk to anyone, we could offer a one-time incentive for people to go to the HSA, say we give them $500 into their HSA savings as an incentive to go to the cheapest plan. That would provide us the most savings as well. So just an option. And if council would like her to come out and explain it further, she would be more than happy to. We'll also be having meetings with the employees, and they'll be sitting down one-on-one to help them make the best choice for them. So we have 27, just for everyone's information, we have 27 full-time employees. I have 24 who take insurance benefits. So worst case scenario, if we were to give a $500 incentive to everyone to go to the cheapest plan, that would cost us $12,000. We'd still be saving $24,000. If we
and
don't
then the
give,
following year, we'd save the full amount.
Yes, exactly.
You just gave a 1 year because they'd stick with it. It just gives them, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but
no, absolutely.
Gives them an incentive to go because with a health savings account, you have to use your, you have to pay, you manage your benefits, you manage your care, so it gives them incentive to have some money to, mm-hmm. there to pay their bills. Most places will do that. It's not uncommon. Mm-hmm. Or large companies will give so much a year automatically to go into a health savings account so the employees go there because mm-hmm. they'd rather see you manage your own care. If you manage your own care, they think you do a better job than if you're with the traditional plans.
Yeah.
So it's something to think about. When will we have to, when would the deadline be, Katie?
Very early December. The incentive we could decide going into January. That could be okay. Something. But I would like to let them know before they make their choice. So early December will be enrollment if we can have a plan by then. But I'm pretty thrilled with the options. I think everyone will be happy with them. We were just so lucky to be part of this huge pool when we were with the county, and now we're out on our own, and we were able to be placed in with another group of small employers.
You're very
so
lucky.
We got decent pricing. I'm pleasantly surprised,
right,
to be honest. And then reflected in here already in the numbers is the increase for the police department, which is part of their contract. I just wanted to let everyone know for your information, should you want to consider giving all employees the same increase of 1.5%, that would impact the budget about $30,000 additional to what's in here now. That's not reflected.
The police are getting it. It's in their, that's their third year?
This is their first. This is their second year of
second,
the contract,
yeah.
Yes.
Because it was zero?
It was zero, 1.5, 1.5,
right.
Yes.
So they're getting, in their collective bargaining agreement, they're automatically getting the 1.5%.
Yeah. So I don't believe that any employees have the expectations of getting any sort of an increase. I just want to point that out, that would be the impact should you want to have everyone receive the same, just an option.
Right. Okay, to getting back to the insurance, if we schedule the insurance rep to come out the first COW meeting in December, that would work, correct?
That should work. I will talk to them tomorrow and send everyone an email and let you know what she has to say.
Was council good with that? You think that's something we should do? Okay.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Where I work, that is the only option offered.
What, a health savings account? Yeah.
I mean, they give us some money and that's it. Very high deductible. You're on your own.
What do they give you a year?
They give us, if you're a single person, you get $1,000. If you're on family, it's only like $250. But I had the option, because I have Mike on my coverage, that I could pay more out of my check, and then I get the $1,000. And since the deductible is quite extensive.
Right.
But you can, I also, in my plan, you can pay in every pay. Like I pay in like $30 and it accumulates and you take it with
it.
You.
Yeah.
And if you don't use it all in a year, you know, it just accumulates. Unfortunately, I do. But it was the only option offered to us.
They say that's where.
That's the wave of the future.
Yeah, that all employees
and,
are going to have, employers will
yes.
push that. But like you said, at least then you can use it when you even retire to pay your deductible while you're on Social Security with Medicare and stuff. That's the thing. It never goes away, different than like a flexible savings account or whatever.
Mike's going on Medicare next year, so
yeah.
That'll help.
One other thing to note, I believe I made an increase on for tax refunds. I believe that we're going to have a substantial refund to one entity next year, so I can't really.
Do you
really
know the line item on that?
It's not in here.
Okay, it's not in
here. Yeah, so it will impact the 2019 budget. I can't really expound on the specifics, but we're looking at potentially $50,000 refund. So.
Wow.
Wonderful.
Right.
But that's it. There haven't been a lot of other changes since we last met, besides some corrections. And then we'll obviously have a more thorough meeting next week or whenever.
Right.
Well, we can go,
where we'll again go line by line.
Next Tuesday plan, we're going to go through. We'll have the department heads here.
Right.
We'll go through the budget. I know we talked about it. The chief, I know we're looking at how that needs to be done. Stan Jaworski's been interim chief over a year. I know as council we talked about it. It'd be good to make that happen, make him full-time chief. I think we all agree he's done a good job. And at that time, maybe talk about whether or not he makes less than the former chief, but we couldn't give him, he doesn't get a raise with the other employees. Because he's not in the collective bargaining agreement. He's part of the administration, so he's not in the CBA. So we could give him a 1.5% if we wanted to do that. But that's something we can talk about, that how that reflects into the budget next Tuesday, too. And also about Angela. I know the former administration's plan was when Vic Nagala retired was to put Angela in that role. She's doing both those roles. It was to eliminate, instead of having Angela and Vic, was just to have one person, Angela, do both of those mm-hmm. roles, and she has been doing that. But she's been at more accounts payable doing that and not doing, I mean, she's been doing the job but not getting paid for it, which is something we need to address. So I thought that was something we'll address in the COW meeting next week, too, and how it impacts the budget and where that should be. We're very fortunate with both of those individuals. They're both very qualified. Angela's very qualified to do the job. We're very lucky to have her in our tax department. And she'll be here, too, and she can even kind of give some of her background. But I know we talked about that as council, too. Let's see. What else, Katie, in the budget?
That's pretty much my overview, unless anyone has specific questions.
Yeah,
or want
and
to
we
get
can go line
the...
item. I mean, we have time for it.
Yeah.
So, but go. Any council members have any questions? Denny, were you ready for something? Okay.
I'd rather go take my time and go.
Yeah.
Take it home and go through it. Get some questions if I have any together.
Go ahead, Jennifer.
Is there a way, Mr. Mayor, that we, and not wanting to say anything out of turn outside of executive session, but other employees that we've talked about, is there a way to put some of those numbers together, too, to see if we could correct some of those inconsistencies? And
I know. As council, we've talked about some other employees, how the village has it set up. They're in classifications, and there's really no way to get out of that classification. We don't have nothing written there. We don't have anything that says, okay, if you're in that position 5 years, you move into that upper classification, or you take advanced schooling, or you meet something. It's just a recommendation from their boss, their director, or their manager, and which the manager is willing to give those recommendations, but we kind of wanted to tighten that up so employees know how to reach a goal. They don't know how to get to the next level, and you need expectations, and if they're willing to educate themselves, go to school, or get further training, they should be rewarded for that, have a way to advance. So that's something I know we've talked about, as you saying, we can think, and I think that's kind of looking at some of those structures. I think that's something we can even do in December. I know we'd like to get it done before the first of the year, before we finalize the budget. Mm-hmm. So when we do finalize the budget, those are all real numbers, and we're done as in the past. And you know, so no problem. That's something we can look at, too. Any other things from council about the budget? How about residents? Any residents have anything for item 10? Okay. Item 11, other business. Real brief, I just kind of want to talk about HGE, which is a business looking to move into the village of Walton Hills. We had a preliminary planning commission meeting on October 25th. The planning commission was here along with myself, our law solicitor, Tom Jordan, our economic development consultant, Fred, a council person, was here, Mary's on the board, myself, our building inspector, residents that live behind that were here along with the company. And actually, we had a very productive meeting. HGE has been trying to they purchased the old landfill from Bedford, and they've been trying to move forward with developing the property, and we've been trying to tell them, well, you got to follow the process. Okay, you got to get the permits. You have to go through the planning commission, and they've hired an attorney and a construction manager, and they're finally, I think we're getting somewhere. We had a very productive meeting. They understand where the village is at, where the residents are at. The residents had some concerns, which we addressed along with the village concerns. And the best way to approach this is to come up with a development agreement. And with the development agreement, I'll let Bill talk about that. It kind of lays out all the expectations from both sides. And then they agree to that, and they have to operate within that. And we told them what we're looking for, and we haven't heard back from them yet. But the development agreement is something that council has to vote on. Okay, so I thought Bill could talk about it now, and we can talk about it, because they could come up all of a sudden and say, oh, we want that development agreement passed tomorrow, and I didn't want to just spring it on you. So, Bill, you want to kind of talk about it and kind of where we're at with it?
Yeah, well, during the Planning Commission meeting, there were certain things that we wanted to make clear with HD Concrete of what was expected from the village. And the main things were that there would be no concrete crushing operations back there, that they have a dust collection system so that when those trucks came through, they would collect all the dust and wouldn't go up in the air. There'd be certain screening and buffering that would be between their operation and the neighborhoods, so the neighboring houses over there wouldn't be able to have sight of of the bins that'll be holding those services. And just my details of just what exactly, where the roads are going to be, what structure they're going to have, and the one structure that they had, we required them on this list to have a stone base around this whole structure, just to dress it up a little bit. And there's some other minor
light shielding.
Hours of operation.
Yeah, the hours of operation. That we'll have to see how that addresses the name. The residents were asking for hours of operation to start at 9, but they're a supplier of concrete, and they're supplying concrete to laborers who are basically on the job site at 8 o'clock, ready to go. So that's one of those things. But we're basically, bottom line, we're trying to work with them and to make it the best agreement for us and our residents. The big thing is, of course, the rock crushing. What was some of the other?
The lighting. The lighting conformed to our ordinances. The bufferings conformed to our ordinances. They put a fence up also to have additional buffering between their site and the exterior sites where residential properties were. I think we covered it.
Right, and then they have to operate within, that is a dump, and there is certain areas of that property that they cannot use. It's monitored, and so those are things. The other thing is the assessment of a road. We want to put a new road in and assess the businesses there, so it would be no cost to the village, except for our old service garage that has some frontage there, but then when we were to sell that, that assessment gets passed off on them. So that is part of the development agreement, too, isn't it, Bill?
Yeah, they would agree to participate in the assessment.
Because right now, if they were to try to run that operation with the existing road, it's bad. The road is terrible there. So they have to be part of that assessment. They got quite a bit of frontage there. So, but the advantage of the road is an advantage for the village. It's an area that needs to be cleaned up. It will probably increase the value of our existing service garage. It's just a plus. And it will be another way also to control the keeping it clean, too, because right now that's pretty much a muddy road. So that's, and we would have more detail on that just to kind of give you an idea. And if you need anything, I don't really have anything to give you. You've seen the plans. We're just kind of waiting for them to get back to us. That was a preliminary meeting, so they have to come back to the Planning Commission for a regular Planning Commission meeting. So they're, so we can, if you're more than welcome to come to that meeting as council members too. Fred, you probably understand the project a lot more being there than if you weren't there. It's been kind of complex, but I think we're really getting to a good point with them. So, unless they don't agree to it, so then they don't build it. I think that's the only thing I had for other business.
Mr. Mayor, do we know
yes.
when the next Planning Commission meeting will be?
We're waiting on that.
No, they
we
haven't.
We just have to wait on that.
Yeah, they haven't come to us or anything on it, so we're just waiting to hear from them. We told them where we're at and had that meeting, and it's kind of in there. It's in their court. Just a couple update, a couple things. We do have the volunteer dinner on Thursday. Sunday is the Veterans Day pancake breakfast with the Women's Club, and also we'll have our 11 o'clock service. We have one of our residents talking. Rainey Austin will also sing for us. So hopefully we'll have a nice day. And I think that's about it. And we'll have our meeting on Tuesday. So,
Mayor, if I may, there's a real concern on my part, I think, with respect to safety. You can go on any street in the village and you'll see an old dead tree within close proximity to the street, the road, etc., etc. And there was an incident yesterday on McClellan Drive, And, you know, like 10 minutes sooner and I could have gotten hit by this falling tree, and it's quite huge. All right, and it fell over the guardrail. And we need to consider that problem, I think, and what we can do about it. So I put it out here before the village so that everybody knows about it. And that's really all I can do. But this was, and I reported this to the service department. And they took care of it right away. But still, yeah, you could hear that tree, and it was quite... In fact, I moved it off the road, and it took all I had to get it moved off the road at that time, because otherwise traffic could not have passed until service department got that thing moved away. But it's a real safety hazard for our community and our community's citizens. So, and that's all I'll say on the matter. Thank you.
Okay. Well, so that tree then must have been on our, it wasn't on private property then?
It was sitting down in Deer Lick Creek.
Because our service garage service department took care of it. Because our service department took care of it, right?
Yes, they did.
Because we know if there's any trees that are, you know, on village property, we'll have our service department address it. As far as if they're on private property, like everything, that's where the village has a problem. We're not allowed to use public funds on private property. We, you know, if there's a safety issue or something, we can help out or we do what we can. But just so you know, I mean, we'd love to be able to, especially now when everybody has all these ash trees, including myself in our yards that are dead. Our service department would have a full-time job with five full-time employees clearing everybody's ash trees. But I'm glad to hear that you reported it to Rob, and he took care of it. But any trees like that, anybody has a problem if they're, we'll have the service department look into it and address it appropriately.
I think, too, though, Mayor, we just can't say that trees on private property are the individual residents. I would question, is there something that we can do to assure that those dead trees would be taken down to eliminate the safety hazard? So I think we need to ask that question, too. Thank you.
Well, we have park property, too.
Sorry?
I say we have park property that line the roads, too. I had exactly. Tinker's Creek Road. I had one laying right across the road. Came home one night and stopped and picked it up, just threw it over the guardrail. But, it was, I mean, they're coming down.
Oh, yeah.
Had one this morning, the neighbor. And I did talk to the illuminating company. I called and talked to them about, took pictures, sent the pictures where the trees are between the wires from my house and the neighbor's house. And... one of those came down this morning, and they haven't contacted me yet. It's been 3 weeks, so, and he was here and talked about it, and I took pictures, and I called him, and he said, send pictures. I did, and I haven't heard back, so.
And we can follow up on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and on Egbert Road down near Chestnut, there's a considerable number of those trees on the south side of Edwards near that substation. I guess that's a substation there. And that they may be the power company that needs to take care of that. So, you know, are we going to do anything about that?
And there's a lot of them. They're going to be coming down. I mean, they're starting to come down more and more because they're getting, they're rotten. You know.
But if someone gets hurt and a tree falls, they don't want to hear that, hey, that's not our responsibility.
No, I understand.
Okay? At least I don't want to hear.
Anybody else? Any other council members have anything? Any residents have any? Yeah, come on.
Evening, Mr. Mayor, Council, Mr. Mason. My name's Joe Ungarski. I live over at 7745 Notting Hill Drive. I had just gotten off of work at St. Benedict's School on my way home. I'm just going to go and vote voted, walked out, and ran into Mary Alice here, who strongly encouraged me to attend my first council meeting. I couldn't say no to her. Listening to you, there was a couple of things that came to mind, and I apologize for regressing to item number six. Mr. Lasky, you had mentioned, one of your constituents had mentioned something about lighting in the parking lot of the community center. All that I ask is, being that I live directly behind that community center, consideration be given to the brightness and the height of the lights that will be installed, if they are going to be installed. That's all that I ask. Secondly, I'm just curious, the traffic light at the bottom of my street, how did the council, mayor, whomever, decided where that lone camera would be placed? How did you come up with the, you know, end of the street, Alexander and Notting Hill? I'm just curious.
Oh, we can. You're talking the traffic camera?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. What we did, the village, we hired a company, Gasco, and they, you probably remember seeing, like most residents, the white Jeep that was placed, that was theirs.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. They do all the placement of the camera. So they basically did a study and said these are the places that we got the biggest problem, and they recommended those areas, and that was one of the areas they recommended.
Okay. The Ford plant. I know there's been talk about what's going to be going in there. Hopefully something will be going in there soon to bring some revenue back into the village. Any plans, any updates in regards to that?
Yeah, I can briefly talk about that. We're hoping to have a meeting at the end of this week.
Okay.
I'll leave it at that. Hopefully that will go well, and I'll be able to share that with everybody. Hopefully good news. What we understand is, and I know I've talked briefly about it, they've had over 12 good offers, and we've talked to them, Ford Land Bank, a few times, and they wanted to share some of that with us, and we're hoping they're coming up to share some of that. So,
good. Keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah. So we're hoping that we have some. We feel they're moving forward with that. So.
Last thing, my friend, is Alexander. That vacant property where those high voltage power tension plant is located. Any plans? Any thoughts about what's going to be going in there? Has anybody expressed an interest in that vacant property?
The
First Energy property. Yeah, we haven't heard anything on that.
No.
From what we understand,
no.
Nobody has said, nobody's requested anything from the village. A lot of times they'll request the footprint of it or whatever. We haven't gotten anything. I know when we talked about the overlay zoning and the former mayor, we had a meeting up at the community room, and we had our engineer there. A lot of residents like yourself, who I don't know if you were there, but live close to there. They had a lot of concerns, and what our engineer said, it's a lot of property, but it's not not all of it's developable.
Right.
So he thought it would be a very hard piece of property to sell.
Mm-hmm.
Now you understand, they put up all their property, and Bill, maybe help me clarify this if I'm off. The Illuminating Company put all their property up for sale because it was part of the Chapter 13 or
the
something.
The bankruptcy.
Because of the power plants. It was part, all their land went up for sale at the same time in the area.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like they chose that certain. But what we understand is there hasn't been a lot of activity there.
Okay. Thank you.
I got something to add to that.
Yeah, you can, go ahead.
So,
come on up here, Steve, so it will be on the, Mr. Velk, so it will be on the microphone.
The guy's last name is slipping my mind. He's one of the reps from First Energy, the property acquisitions. He did tell me 2 weeks ago that they have been in some pretty extreme talks with both the Cuyahoga Valley National Park and with the Metro Parks. Metro Parks only has about $1 million left in their funds after the purchase of Astor's Golf Course. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to hopefully wait until the next year so that they can go ahead and purchase that property. But the only thing that I guess the Metro Parks has requested, which First Energy has not come through with yet, is they requested an appraisal of the property. And unfortunately, First Energy really hasn't done anything with that yet. So hopefully, in the next few months, we'll find something out. But that was what I found out a couple weeks ago, because I live right there next to that sign, so that's pretty intimate for me to know what's going on back there. Hate to lose it to manufacturing or something. I know we've talked in past meetings that'd be
right.
Great to have more revenue to come into the village, but I mean, I hike that with my dogs back there and my daughter, and there's eagles that nest back there. I mean, there's a lot of wildlife we would be pushing out for more factories. That's all I got.
Yeah, appreciate you sharing that with us, Mr. Velk, because I know with some previous conversations that we had with Tom Jordan, our economic development consultant, and we've talked about that property. That was one thing they really would probably be the only purchaser at the time was the park system, because, as you know, that property also borders Hub Park, and Hub Park's been struggling, too, there with, you know, keeping their occupancies there in the buildings. So,
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Mr. Ungarski, my driveway is what you look down every time you leave your house. So I am back there also. But ultimately, too, obviously, it's First Energy CEI's decision. It's Ford's decision. You know, we just hope to get a heads up and, you know, find out. But, you know, it's really not within our capabilities to decide what goes or doesn't go there, unfortunately.
Wish it was our property. We'd at least get the, even if we sold it to the park, we'd get the revenue for it.
I just want to say, I'm approaching my second year in the village. I've lived in many places for years. Driven by Walt Hills for years. And I have Shawnee, many times, always wanted to live here. We have the opportunity to. So I've been here, going on 2 years, December 23rd, and I can tell you a wonderful community after. I've been welcomed, fully honest, just really tremendous understanding how to live, and I'm really proud to see the rest of the year. Thank you.
Thank you. I want to clap for that.
Yeah.
I think we all agree with that. Yeah. I think that's why everybody's so passionate about this village, because I think everybody agrees with what you just said. So we are very fortunate. It's kind of a little oasis in Cuyahoga County. You know, I don't think there's any community prettier than Walton Hills in Cuyahoga County. No. There really isn't. It's something, you know, people come to your house and they think you're in the country, and you can jump on the freeway or you can go get a pizza or fast food. And well, thank you. Any other residents have any? Go ahead. Come on up, join. I thought you were going to be quiet tonight.
Well, I like the microphone, see? Dwayne Lawrence, 14770 Alexander Road. The council meeting that we had, or not meeting, but get together, I thought was pretty cool. And I asked you a couple of things. I don't know if it's pretty trivial, I guess, because I'm going to go back and take some pictures about that well back there.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
And I don't understand how they have an easement going down between my property and then goes across Alexander Road and it goes to Hope Parkway. So I want to run a line across.
I'm glad you brought to be honest with you, Dwayne, I'm glad you brought up. I didn't follow up with that, so I will now. So
it's probably in your backyard.
Yeah,
and I watched it back there, and I seen them back there a few years ago. They redid, put a fence around it and everything, and I don't know if it's still operating or not. But anyway, it's back there, and it's not a problem for me or nothing. I just
want. No, we can get some information on that.
Okay. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you for reminding me. Thank you. Any other residents have anything before council? Okay. Can we have adjournment, please? Motion for adjournment.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to motion for adjournment of the Council of the Whole meeting of November 6, 2018.
Second.
Councilperson Terlowski?
Yes.
Nielsen?
Yes.
Linville?
Yes.
Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Allen?
Yes.
Meeting adjourned at 7:59 p.m.